When I was in high school, my best friend introduced me to a blog of an online gallery created by Canadian artist Mark Johns. The irony of the blog titled Serious Drawings was evident once I scrolled through the images of bearded fish, runaway pants, disgruntled furniture, and eccentric characters. I was hooked. I follow the guy on Facebook, Twitter, and I'm a subscriber to his blog. So when my colleagues were debating Ampersand's logo, I immediately thought of Mark Johns. We're all a bunch of goofballs here. I mean, serious goofballs, of course. But Mark Johns gets that. He'd be perfect for the job. In fact, he already had a series of Ampersand drawings on his site. Ampersand's jogging, a deluxe carrying case for your Ampersand, and an Ampersand with a unicorn horn. Because who doesn't want to be magical? Well, Mark Johns didn't end up designing our logo, but he did allow me to pick his brain. I personally really like the inanimate objects and their thoughts, what you think their thoughts would be. And yeah. I've often wondered, oh, does Mark just look at inanimate objects and find it hard not to wonder what they're thinking about?
Yeah.
I mean, you got me on this thing now where I'll be doing something and I'm like, oh, did Mark Johns ever draw like a Q-tip? Because it would suck to be a Q-tip. Like, do they just come to you? How does that work?
Well, they do. They sort of, and I'll look at something and think, what's it like to be, you know, a coffee mug? And would I like hot coffee on me, or would that like hurt every single time? I've never done a drawing about that, but I should. And sometimes it comes just from, there's something that I feel like drawing. It's like, well, I really feel like drawing salt and pepper shakers, but I need an excuse to. I need like a story there. I can't just draw, you know, a still life of salt and pepper shakers. So there has to be something going on. So then I'll create either a dialogue between the two or some scenario where, you know, one of them doesn't want to be salt anymore. He wants to dispense Parmesan cheese. Yeah, that's sort of several ways that those come about.
I've noticed that a lot of your art, they have these captions incorporated into the work. When did that decision come in, or was that always a part of your work?
I think that was always a part of my work. I like words as much as I like pictures. Maybe I'm a frustrated writer, or just a writer of five-word sentences. And I've always liked that play between the two. And I think when I was still in school and I saw the works of Jean-Michel Basquiat, and he would use words and the power that those words had in his scribbled paintings, I thought, wow, that's great. That sort of gave me permission. One of the artists that kind of gave me permission to use text in my art. And then I liked text-based art, like Barbara Kruger. She used the photography with the slogans on it. And maybe part of that is connected to my graphic design background too. A lot of what you do in design is marrying images and pictures together. I'm also a big fan of children's books, and really good children's books have this wonderful magical balance between the words and the pictures. The words tell part of the story and the images tell another part of the story. And then other times I just add words in case you can't tell what it is I drew.
Do you think that happens often?
And I think it happens now and then. It's sort of like, well, that sort of looks like a banana, but I better make sure you know that. The other part of it is sort of like that scientific drawings where it's like, well, here's a species of whatever, and you describe it, you know, well, I'm just sort of describing, yes, that looks like an ice cream playing a trumpet. So I'll actually say on the bottom, ice cream playing the trumpet. It's sort of stating the obvious. And I think it kind of reinforces that deadpan. And just in case you're looking at the image and saying, really, is that an ice cream cone playing trumpet? And you say, yes, in fact, it is. And then you sort of leave it at that.
I think it's fun that you point out the obvious, because it does increase the absurdity of the whole situation. Like it almost, at least for me, when I look at art, I feel like we're programmed to look at it and be like, okay, what's the deeper message in this image? And so when I look at your art, it always makes me chuckle because it's just that.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It literally is just that.
It really is. Exactly. And maybe it comes from my fine arts background. Conceptual art was, you know, one of the higher goals of our projects. So there was always sort of meaning behind it. You know, you'd make something and then that in class would be the critique, and you'd have to talk about what it was about. And so I think you're onto something. So by actually writing on it what it is, it sort of stops it dead in its tracks. Like, well, that's what it is, and that's it. Of course, hopefully there's more to it than that, but the text gets you partway there.
One piece that seems to be extremely popular, the What to Focus On.
Yeah.
Do you remember what your state of mind was when you created it? What were you thinking? By the way, for those of you who aren't familiar with the drawing, What to Focus On is a black and white sketch of a target with the word happy in the center.
that image has resonated with a lot of people. Yeah, it's been tattooed a lot. And it came about one time when I was at work and I was really frustrated with something. I can't remember what. And I had a conversation with my wife and she set me straight. She basically said, you know, just don't worry about those things. Focus on all the good stuff that's happening. So I was taking the bus home that was spinning around in my head, and I pulled out my little notebook and drew that almost exactly as it is, and then decided maybe I should share this. And I was really surprised at how much it resonated, because I just thought, well, this is just a reminder to myself. But I thought, well, it's worth sharing, even though it's like very crudely drawn. And it, yeah, people really responded. They wanted prints of it and stuff, and eventually got tattoos of it. So
what was that like to see your artwork take off onto body art?
Oh, boy. Well, with the body art, that still freaks me out. I'm honored and humbled that somebody would choose to have my art on their body for their entire life. But at the same time, I can't believe it. I have no tattoos at all myself. I think I'm A, too chicken to, and B, I don't think there's any single image I could commit to for an entire life. I think I'd get sick of it. And then to have my art on somebody, that still floors me.
What about your ampersand drawings? Is there a reason that you chose that symbol?
The ampersand, I don't know why, but graphic designers are crazy about ampersands, especially if they're done really well in a nice typeface. So that was sort of a nod to graphic designers, because I know a lot of designers follow my work. And I was kind of making fun of this weird obsession that people have with this particular symbol. So I started, you know, making drawings about ampersands, and people really liked them. So I kept doing more.
It seems like you have a personal connection with each of your drawings. Is there one that particularly resonates with you?
I don't think there's any particular. I think over time, you know, there's different ones as I go through. There was one that I drew early on, and I just called it Kite. And it was basically a kite on the ground, and the string went up to the guy holding the string. He's flying, so the kite was flying the man. And for some reason, that resonated with me for a long time. It's not my most popular image at all, but I think it should be.
To see more of Johns's serious drawing, visit his blog at markjohns.com. That's Mark with a C, by the way. This is Vanessa Wilson with Ampersand.